to the Old Testament book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. We're going to commence our reading at the verse 1, reading down to the end of the verse 15. Exodus chapter 14, the verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Baal-hazor, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness have shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Baal-hazor before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Amen. Finishing our reading there, we know as always that the Lord will add his blessing upon the public reading of his precious, infallible word. We're just going to bow now together. And amen. The title I have given to this message this morning and the words that I want to leave with you are found at the end of verse 15 of Exodus chapter 14. And they are those two simple words, go forward. This was the command of God to his people who just left the bondage of old Egypt. And I believe this is the command of God to his people today who have left the bondage of this old world. You know how swiftly time seems to fly by. It seems we're being hurled on to eternity at a terrific pace. And the older we become, the faster and faster time seems to get. But the big danger in all our lives is stagnation. You see, we are so apt to settle down and to be at ease in our current condition. But God is always on the forward move, and thus so should we as His people. Tell me this morning. When you look back over the past months, even the past year, have you gone forward? Now, I'm not talking about materially, financially, or anything like that. But have you gone forward spiritually? Have you grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Young person, do you know more about the Lord today than you did this time last year? What about your prayer lives? Has your prayer life developed? Are you seeking the Lord more conscientiously? Are you striving to get to the place of prayer? Has it developed? What about your study of the Scriptures? Are you now feeding on the meat of God's Word? Are you going forward? What about your witness? Your ability to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ? Has that matured? Has it grown? Are you going forward to the glory of God? You know, David Livingstone, who was, of course, the great pioneer missionary, he said that he was willing to go anywhere as long as it was forward. You see, friends, every church must go forward. Every Christian, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ must go forward. You know, it's like an old car sitting on a hill with no handbrake. Either the accelerator's down and you're driving up that hill, or either you're rolling back. It's like the Christian life. There's only one of two positions. Either you're going forward, or either you're going back. It is my prayer that each of us here who know and love the Lord, it is my prayer that our church, it is my prayer that we would advance to the glory and to the honor of God. No matter what the Red Sea is that is before us, we must go forward. Now, when we come to this portion of God's Word this morning, there are two things that I want us to consider as we look at those words of God to Moses and to the people to go forward. And the first point that I want us to see is the pathway going forward. The pathway going forward. Now, just for a moment, consider the scene that is before us here in Exodus 14. The Israelites, under the leadership of Moses, and by the hand of God, have just left the slavery and the bondage of old Egypt. And this camp of maybe 2 million people make their way out of Egypt. For hundreds of years they've been in bondage, they've been held as slaves to the pharaohs and to their armies, but now they're free, free to go. But as they make their journey, there comes a problem. Before them is the Red Sea. They can go no further. To the left are mountains. And again, to the right, there are mountain ranges. And in the distance, there's a red glow of dust. And it's getting larger and larger, and closer as Pharaoh and his armies make their way to destroy them. And there seems to be no way of escape, nowhere to turn, nowhere to go. And it's right there, standing on the edge of the Red Sea, that God says to his people, go forward. Not backwards to fight Pharaoh and his armies. Not to flee to the mountains on either side. But to go forward. You know, I think that we can learn here that no matter what is before us, no matter the obstacle, no matter the circumstances of life, the difficulties in which we come to, we must take that pathway going forward. I want you to notice that this was a distinct pathway. Nothing like this had ever been seen in the history of the world. Look at verse 15. Moses is commanded, that lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. How wonderful this was this. When all hope had gone, when certain destruction at the hand of Pharaoh and his armies seemed inevitable, by the power of God, a distinct pathway was opened up to God's people and made available to them. Look at verse 21, if you would, please. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now just think about that for one moment. God divided the Red Sea. Think about the enormity of that. You know, sometimes we read passages in Scripture and we just read over them. We've read them time and time again and we don't think about what's being said. But God here, by His almighty power, divided the Red Sea. See in favor of His people. Now one Bible commentator, I think it was Arthur Pink, said that the miracle of the Red Sea occupies a similar place in the Old Testament Scriptures as the resurrection of the Lord Jesus does in the New, because it's appealed to as a standard of measurement, as the supreme demonstration of God's power. I tend to agree with those words. As an example, centuries later, Isaiah, he appealed to the miracle of the Red Sea when he said, "Art thou not it, the one which have dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that have made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over?" Isaiah 51, verse 10. So clearly then, the miracle of the Red Sea left an impression upon God's people there. But also it left an impression upon the heathen. And how do we know that? Well, you know the story Rahab of Jericho, when she spoke to the spies. She mentioned this dividing of the Red Sea. She said in Joshua chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you." So, without doubt, this pathway that was opened up to the Israelites, to God's people, was distinct. Nothing like it was ever seen and has been ever seen in the history of the world. Now, in application, when we think upon that pathway opened up to the Israelites, it reminds each and every one of us here this morning of that pathway that God has opened up to His people. Those today who are redeemed, those who can say they're saved by God's grace, that pathway, that pilgrim's journey that we are walking on is distinct. The Christian road is one that has been divinely opened up to us by God through His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those here this morning who know and love the Lord, they can come up here and can testify and say how their lives were beyond hope. They had no care for the things of God. They were in bondage to this old world. Sin had overtaken them. And as they stood on that precipice, looking over into that eternal punishment, God, by His grace, opened up that way whereby we may be saved. You know, the psalmist, he talks about that way, but he calls it a path of life. Psalm 16 and verse 11, he says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Again, in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, we are told, "But the path of the just," that is, the path of the ones who are walking, who know and love the Lord, "is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." And of course, the words of the Lord Himself talking about that pathway, "Because straight is the gate," He said in Matthew 7:14, "and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." That pathway that the Israelites must take to go forward is a distinct pathway. And if you're here this morning and you're saved and you know and love the Lord, that pathway that you are walking is distinct. There's nothing else like it. It is a beautiful way, a way that shineth. It's an excellent way. It's a privileged way, unlike any other. And that is why. That is why we must go forward. The pathway going forward, it was distinct. But you'll note also here, it was a difficult pathway. Now, why do I say this pathway the Israelites were walking was a difficult pathway? What was so hard about it? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, that great chapter of a roll call of great men and women of faith. Well, we read there this account, and we are told in Hebrews 11 and verse 29 that by faith, they, that is the Israelites, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. So we learn there that the Israelites were traveling through the Red Sea by faith. They were totally relying on God by faith. What does faith mean? Well, I often think of the simple acrostic. You take the letters of faith, forsaking all in trusting Him. And that's exactly what the Israelites were doing. They had forsaken everything. They had forsaken their old lives. They had forsaken their own abilities, their own plans, and they were following God by faith to go down into the Red Sea and to cross it. Surely that would have been difficult. Anybody could have sized up the situation. A wall of water to the left, a wall of water to the right, and they had to go down in between those two massive walls, relying totally that God would hold them back, for at any time, as the Pharaoh and his army soon found out, at any time they could come crashing down and kill them. Surely it was a difficult pathway for them to walk. But Israel, trusting in God, walked down, started down the bank, onto the seabed, by faith, walking across to the other side. And you know, as God's people, we too, for the Bible tells us, we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. When we go forward on that pathway of life, we go forward in the belief of things that we can't see. We can't see God. We can't touch God. But we're walking in faith, believing that the Lord has opened up that pathway for us. We believe in the existence of objects which are invisible, and we are influenced by them. Each and every one of us who know and love the Lord, our lives are suffered, our lives are influenced by unseen realities, things that we can't touch. And even by that, surely that tells us it is a difficult pathway to walk. Surely it's a difficult pathway to walk. pathway for the Israelites was difficult. It took great faith to get down there and to go across. And as God's people, at times it takes great faith to continue walking forward in that pathway of life. At times our faith is tried to the limit. Problems occur. Family problems, financial problems, difficulties in work. It's hard to walk for the Lord in faith. I don't need to tell the young people here how hard it is at times to walk by faith in school. To stand for Christ in school. In the workplace. How difficult it is at times to stand by faith for the Lord. Others around us mock us, scorn us, laugh at us. And at times our faith is tried. What about illness and health? Many people are sadly stricken down with bad health and sickness and disease. And at times we cry out to the Lord, "Why me? Why me? Why me?" And our faith is tried right to the limit. But you know, despite this, despite the difficulties, despite the hardships, we must go forward. It was a distinct pathway for the Israelites. It was a difficult pathway. But I want you to note also it was a dark pathway. Now if you look back at verse 20, you will see here that it was night time. We are told, "And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night." And again, if you would please look down at verse 24. We are told, "And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians." So we see here that it was during the morning watch in verse 24, that is during the dawn, that Pharaoh and his army was overthrown in the midst of the Red Sea. In other words, God sent his people through the Red Sea at night time. It was a dark pathway. Now, it would not have been better to go during the morning, during the afternoon, early evening, when it was light and all that? Would it not have been better to go through then? No. God wanted them to go through the Red Sea at night time. Now, of course, they had the pillary cloud before them, and that's the point, isn't it? But you know, we too are living in very, very dark days. I'm sure you would agree. Apostasy is rife. Few there are who are standing for the great truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wickedness and evil is prevailing. Rejection of Christ is all around us. Rejection of the Sabbath day. I'm sure you've seen it coming in this morning. People have no care for God or the things of his day. We are living in dark, dark days. But you know, no matter how dark it is, no matter how dark the circumstances in our lives can be, it is the will of God that we go forward, that we push towards the mark, that we run the race. And we must pray that God would burn that through into our souls. It's a distinct, difficult, it's also a dark pathway. But I want you to see here that it was also a direct pathway. When the children of Israel commenced that pathway across the seabed, there was only one way to go. And that was forward. They could not turn back. As we said, what was there to go back to? Pharaoh and his armies were there. Anyone who went back would have surely been murdered, slaughtered. They couldn't turn to the left. They couldn't turn to the right, because verses 29 and 22 tell us that the water were a wall unto them on their right hand and their left. There was no other way to go. They couldn't go back to old Egypt. They knew what was back there. Slavery, bondage, turmoil, misery. They couldn't go back there. The only way they could go. Only way they could go was forward. Forward to escape. Forward to the promised land. Forward to taste of the fruit of joy. Forward was the only way to go. And believer, this morning, again, an application. The only way open to us is forward. What do you want to go back to? Back to the old world? Back to the old sins? Back to the old miseries? What about the backslider? What sadness there must be in his heart. Because he knows what's back there. He's been there. The Lord has saved him from it. So he knows it's misery. You show me a happy backslider, and I'll show you someone who never knew the Lord. In reality, God's people, we must go forward to the glory of God. There's no other way to turn. Back there's misery. We can't turn to the left. We can't go to the right. The only way to the promised land is forward to the glory and to the honor of God. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9. Prophet there says, who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. That is the pathway going forward. But I want you to see, secondly and finally and quickly this morning, the praise going forward. Forward. Look at chapter 15 and especially the verse 1. We are told there, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. When Israel came back, or got to the other side of the Red Sea, they looked behind them. The enemy was destroyed. Those walls of water did come crashing down. Pharaoh, his chariots, his army, his people were wiped out. Their bodies, their materials, their weapons were lying strewn across the banks. And what did Moses and the people do? They sang praises on to God. They were joyful. They weren't mourning. They weren't sad. They sang from their hearts. Rejoicing sounded from their lips. They expressed their joy and thankfulness to God in song. How wonderful is that? Can I tell you this morning? If you're going forward with the Lord, you too will be rejoicing. If you're reading your Bible, if you're praying, if you're witnessing for Christ, then you will know what I'm talking about. Now I say this carefully, but some Christians are always miserable. Yes, we do get times when we're down, we're despondent, we're sad, yes. But you ever meet those and they're always down, always giving off about him or her. They're not doing this, they're not saying that. why are we not doing this or that or whatever? They're always down and moaning. Not an ounce of praise to be found about them. Why? Because they're not going forward. If you want joy in your Christian experience, older person, younger person, if you want to experience the joy of the Lord in your walk with Him, if you want to partake of the blessings of God, go forward. Read your Bible. Pray. Witness for God. Yes, difficult times come, and difficult times do come, of course, to each and every one of us. But when all around us is in darkness, and when turmoil is around us, you will still have that joy deep down there, where it matters. Go forward with God. Young person, get involved in the work of the Lord. Older person, get to the prayer meetings. Everyone, read your Bible, pray, seek the Lord. Most importantly, as God told the people here, standing at the Red Sea, go forward. Let us pray.